This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay of Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week, we're talking with Alex Larson. He's directing Cornstalk Theater's production of Superior Donuts, which continues tonight through Sunday. Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me.
So what did you like about this play that led you to pitch it to Cornstalk?
This play is an intimate play about intimate issues. It's real people, which is something that often we go to the theater and we get away into a fantasy world, and you see stories and musicals and things that are bigger than life. Nobody walks around on the street and breaks into song and dance, or at least maybe we should a little bit more. But in this regard, it's an intimate space at Cornstalk, and it allows you that capability to get the message across a little bit easier. I'm not necessarily sure that it's meant for anything bigger than that. It played in a small house when it went to Broadway. It also originated in Steppenwolf Theater Company up in Chicago, which is not a grand stage by any means, but it's written for an intimate setting, and definitely Cornstalk, their winter playhouse and their lab theater is a great place for it and a good forum.
And we should say that the subject matter of the play is a donut shop in a neighborhood in Chicago. The proprietor is a middle-aged white guy, and he's hired a young African-American in his 20s, and they've got different perspectives on the neighborhood and on how the shop should be run.
Absolutely. It takes place, or at least it's set, rather, in modern times even. The script denotes that it sets 2009, 2010 is the intended purpose of it, in Uptown in Chicago. So a familiar neighborhood, not too far from where we all live right now. And it is indeed a gentleman who has kind of his own problems, who is a middle-aged man, taking over the legacy of his parents' donut shop and the neighborhood that's changing around him, and how he is affected by that, most directly by a gentleman of a different culture and of a different upbringing than he is, that wants to work for him, and whether or not this partnership can last and whether or not they can build a friendship around that partnership.
I have to admit, I was not familiar with the play, but did my research on YouTube and saw quite a few clips. And what kept coming through loud and clear was that there has to be chemistry between the two lead characters. Talk about how you developed their chemistry.
Wow. I can honestly say that as far as the Arthur character goes, it's portrayed by a local around here, obviously, Bob Grimson, who is a longtime writer and worker for the Journal Star, as well as Bradley. He's worked at the Hilltopper. And he fits this role like a glove. He is a soft-spoken, gentle giant. He is just a wonderfully charismatic person, and it's really easy because you find that dynamic, you know, within one individual, and then there's only really another individual to direct to that dynamic, which we find in Franco, the other individual who is also connected to Bradley University, a recent graduate with a degree in biology and theater, and Brian McKinley. And so maybe it's just their Midwestern upbringing and the fact that they shared a commonality before they walked on the stage. They're just tremendous gentlemen and people. And you know, a lot of times when you talk with a director or you talk with anyone in the aspects of theater, casting is the hardest part, but it makes your job the easiest when you find the right people. So, you know, you get an opportunity to have individuals come in and walk through your door and find the right matchup. These guys were, you know, like Mary Poppins. They were practically perfect. They really, really were just excellent individuals who I was fortunate enough to have walk through the door versus direct them to where they needed to be.
Talk a little bit about finding the cast that you did, because this show calls for a pretty wide age range from 20s to 60s. You need actors of both genders and an ethnic mix. Did you have to beat the bushes a little bit to spread the word about your auditions?
Not necessarily. This show, we tried talking about it ahead of the process and allowed ourselves the opportunity for people to do research. We have a Get Acquainted at Cornstalk, which starts out well before our season. I was fortunate enough to be in what is the last slot of our winter playoff season. We run from October to March. So I really had the opportunity to spread the word well before my show had an opportunity to go up. And then I was just really, really fortunate. Seth Katz, who is a professor also here at Bradley in the area, came in and was a shoo-in for Max, who is a Russian immigrant, who is one of the store owners within the same block that Arthur runs the donut shop in. The hardest part, I guess I would say, is the women. which is odd. In theater, a lot of times it's easier to find ladies.
Yeah,
for
you
a
have
show.
Too many women.
They have too many women and not enough guys. My cast is an ensemble of nine, and there are actually only two female roles. I did a little bit of courting, but in turn we had a fair handshake of women that had come out, about a half a dozen or so. And so I was really, really fortunate for such a small ensemble of a show. I had a great deal. I had nearly 20 people come out for this show. So I had an opportunity to take 20 and whittle it down to 9, which I was very fortunate.
Since the play takes place in Chicago, did you develop the Chicago accent in your characters, or did you just let them talk normally?
Well, the funny part about not only Chicago but this show, it was really orchestrated in that of the melting pot of America. A lot of these guys, Arthur is Polish. Obviously, Franco is African-American. We refer to the homeless woman who stops in at the store often. She's Lady Boyle is her given name, Randy Osteen. There's a lot of Irish-Americans in it. Max is a Russian immigrant. So there really isn't a traditional Chicagoan in the group, so to speak, because they're all such a melting pot of characters that have come to this area to kind of take up residency. So that's been a challenge within the actors. But as far as, you know, the bears and stuff like that, nobody really hits that one home, but I don't necessarily think that the show calls for it either.
Now, it seems like there's a lot in this script that you can dig into, because there are issues of demographic changes in the neighborhood, there are some racial barriers, and there's the whole conflict that revolves around the shop itself. So how much time do you spend with the actors kind of digging into the meat of all of this material and how that informs performances? And how much do you just let them get on stage and play around?
I would like to think that they were equal parts. It's a show that lends itself. There's not any traditional scene breaks, so you don't have the capability to go in and say, when we're done with this line, then we stop this scene. We were very fortunate that it all kind of rolls together, so I was able to create my own scene work. And we would call individuals in, and we would block small groups, or we would work on things like that. But with such an enriched cast and with such an intelligent cast, we all brought our own ideas to the table, and I love to collaborate like that, because even as a director, you have an opportunity to say, well, I'd like you to stand here, or I'd like you to do this, or how about considering this? And then in turn, they say, well, I kind of feel like I'd like to do this, or maybe I'd consider to do that. And they were such a nice group of individuals to work with, that we had an opportunity to really do both of those things. We through casual conversation, got to dig into the manners at heart a little bit more so than just saying, go home and memorize your lines, please, and come back and have it ready. It was really a discussion, and there were some bonding times. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of times that it talks about war, and the fact that Arthur has an issue with war, as well as his Polish ancestry and the African-American and the racism aspect of things. And it was really, you know, we have a cast that ranged from what is supposed to be 22 all the way, like Nathan said, up to nearly 70. So these individuals, my cast has filled in those gaps very nicely. We've been fortunate enough to have a cast that fits that range. And they just talk about life experiences, and the people who are in the show have created, you know, the community that the show also gets to thrive on.
Does it seem to you that, again, when I read online, that the heart of the play is about friendship?
I don't know necessarily that I agree with that. I think that the heart of the play is about purpose. And so when you look at something as a reviewer may look at it, or as a critic may look at it, we all formulate our own opinions. And it's okay to do that, because there are so many different things that are going on in this show. What do you identify with, and what do you take away from it? And I really think, more so than anything, that a lot of times you'll look at the review of this show and it'll say, well, you know, it's a show about redemption, and it's a show about the friendship that comes out of that redemption. But it's really about purpose. You know, if you felt that redemption was your purpose, or you felt that having a friend was the purpose, all of these people, by the time that the 2 hours has elapsed, you notice that everybody has changed, and they've changed for a reason. And it wasn't necessarily one of redemption, or it wasn't necessarily anything more than just to give themselves a further purpose in life. You know, what is the meaning of life? They all have an opportunity to figure that out by the time it's all done, or at least put forth an idea where maybe you can guess. Do they figure it out? Where do they go? You know, what is the purpose? Where do we move further from here?
I know that because you're in the Winter Playhouse, there's not an actual curtain to come down. But when the show is over, when the experience is finished, what are you hoping that the audience will come away with at the end of the performance?
That's really tough to address. Maybe looking at things a little bit differently. We're in a society right now where things are constantly changing, whether it be how someone votes or where they fit on the socioeconomic scale or whether or not it's okay to be friends with somebody like that because, well, I've never had a friend like that before. Take a chance. Think outside the box a little bit. Find an opportunity to say, all of these people, though very different in who their demographic and their caricature is, you get some insight, and it's okay. They all coexist, and it's America. I mean, it's real life. So maybe something that they can take away from the whole situation is not only that it was a great show with a tremendous cast, but that this changing world that was before us for the last 2 hours is the changing world of which we live in, and, you know, it's time that we start to evolve with it because nobody ever wants to get left behind.
Alex Larson directs Superior Donuts at the Cornstalk Winter Playhouse. Performances continue tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and again Sunday at 2:30. Alex, break a leg.
Thank you.
Nathan, the Peoria Art Guild is holding a dual opening reception for two female artists tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. The exhibit Between the Void and Memorial feature the personal and provocative work of Mel Cook and Angela Inez Baldas. Please plan to stop on by. The exhibit continues until April 23rd.
And finally, Eureka College is presenting a concert of string quartets Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the College Chapel. The ensemble includes David Commande from the Heartland Festival Orchestra and three of his principal string players from that orchestra. The program includes two quartets, one by Mendelssohn and one by Dvorak.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
If you'd like to learn more about Peoria Public Radio, visit us on the web. Our address is peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About. You can listen to an extended version of this interview by going to our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.